In the early 2000s, Kenya's aviation industry faced a period of rapid growth. The emergence of low-cost carriers offered affordable domestic and regional flights, making air travel more accessible to a broader section of the population. At the center of this growth, and previously known as air hostesses, flight attendants gradually emerged as the true stars of the show. These elegant, perfectly groomed, and poised professionals combined style, grace, and impeccable service, hoping to create an unforgettable flying experience for their passengers. Their jobs came with numerous perks, the most enviable ones being free travel to exotic destinations around the world and VIP, or unlimited access to restricted areas on airplanes and within airports. Inevitably, the same perks made them prime targets for criminal organizations seeking accomplices in their illicit activities. This is the story of Priscilla Kolongei. This is True Crime Kenya. On March 4th, 2002, a leading Kenyan airline departed Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj Airport in Mumbai, India, on a 6-hour non-stop flight to Nairobi, Kenya. 35-year-old Priscilla Chemutai Kolongei sat comfortably in her seat, enjoying the business class in-flight entertainment. As an experienced flight attendant, she would usually be walking up and down the aisle, serving drinks and snacks at 30,000 feet, ensuring the safety, comfort, and well-being of every passenger on board. But today, she was on leave. Having spent her time off in Mumbai, she was now able to sit back, relax, and enjoy the return flight home. At 7:15 a.m. the next morning, the flight touched down at Jomo Kenyatta International Airport, Nairobi. Priscilla disembarked the flight and walked confidently through the familiar arrivals lounge, where she switched on her phone and made a call. She told the person on the other end of the line that she had arrived safely, and a male voice responded that he was on the way. Priscilla then walked to the baggage hall, where she waited for and collected her luggage, one suitcase and a traveling bag. She put them on a trolley and wheeled them to the customs desk for necessary checks. At the customs desk, an officer asked her what she was carrying in the bags. Priscilla responded that she was carrying her own clothing and a few personal items. When questioned further on oddly shaped items highlighted on the screen, Priscilla said she was carrying bedsheets. The customs officer insisted on checking the bags as Priscilla appeared reluctant to open them. She clarified that she was cabin crew for this airline and insisted that it was unnecessary. When they were finally opened and searched, a strange smell oozed out. The officer insisted on a more thorough check as Priscilla tried to coax him not to. The customs officer, tired of the back and forth conversation, called for backup from his peers. Finally, she had no choice. In an interview, she later said, quote, "I was told to go to a place we called ICU in the customs department. I immediately knew that someone had tipped off the police," end quote. Priscilla was right. Unbeknownst to her, someone had notified the airport security team that she was carrying drugs. Priscilla was led to the customs verification room, known affectionately by airport staff as ICU. There, a thorough search found some brownish powder wrapped in polythene paper and concealed in jeans trousers. The baggage tag was tallied against Priscilla's air ticket, boarding pass, and passport. When questioned, she had also confirmed that the luggage belonged to her and that she had packed it herself. An inventory of the items found confirmed that there were 33 packages and 2 sachets of the brownish substance. A seizure notice in respect of the drugs was also issued and countersigned by Priscilla, who was present when they were weighed and samples taken to the government chemist. The total weight was 27.8 kilograms. Tests conducted by the government chemist confirmed that all the sachets contained diacetylmorphine, which is commonly known as heroin and valued at 27 million shillings. Priscilla stared in horror at her luggage, which had been placed on the large and only table in the room. Quote, "When I arrived at the airport, I had called the receiver of the parcel, who was already on his way. The police confiscated my phone and started talking to him. I tried to persuade them to let him join me, but they didn't listen." End quote. Priscilla was crestfallen. In an interview with BBC Swahili, she later said, quote, "I felt horrible. The first people I thought of were my 5-year-old daughter and my mum, who was unwell at the time and due for a hospital checkup." End quote. She wished it was a bad dream, but this was really happening. Priscilla had been caught. Word about the drug bust began to spread. Jomo Kenyatta International Airport, usually a beehive of activity, was now bursting with curious passengers, police, journalists, and even some of her colleagues. Everyone jostled and crowded around the ICU interrogation room, trying to catch a glimpse of the drama. Over the next 24 hours, detectives from the anti-narcotics department interrogated Priscilla in shifts. Unable to obtain the information they needed, they extended their search to her house, where they turned everything upside down. Priscilla, the sole parent to her 5-year-old daughter, painfully recounted her child's terror at the state of her home that day. Quote, "My daughter had just arrived home from school, and she couldn't understand why mean-looking men were in the house, going through everything. She clung to me, crying and terrified for hours." End quote. Over the next 3 days, police moved Priscilla from one police station to another, trying to squeeze as much incriminating information as they could from her. Finally, on the 4th day of her interrogation, she was taken to court. While awaiting trial on remand, the first visitor to Priscilla's jail cell was a member of the Human Resources Department at the airline she worked for. They had not come to check on her welfare. They made it clear they were visiting to deliver her letter of dismissal. 2 weeks after her dismissal, the same airline dismissed 32 of its cabin crew suspected to be drug couriers. On 4th April 2002, Priscilla was charged with trafficking in narcotic drugs, contrary to Section 4A of the Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances Act 1994. She pleaded not guilty to the charge, and the trial was set for 2nd May 2002. Priscilla's 6-year career as a drug mule had amassed a considerable fortune in the form of substantial funds stashed in 4 bank accounts. At the time of her arrest, Priscilla had also acquired a house in Nairobi, property in Eldoret, a cane farm in Chemelil, a tailoring business, a car, and was in the process of constructing a 2 million shilling farmhouse for her parents in Uasin Gishu. She had access to considerable proceeds of her crime and could afford the best lawyers in the country. Her lawyer's efforts to secure her release on bond failed after Magistrate Wanjiro Karanja agreed with the prosecution that she was a flight risk and highly likely to abscond due to her strong financial standing. Additionally, the prosecution presented 17 previous cases where defendants facing drug charges in similar circumstances had fled and failed to appear in court after being released on bail. Her appeal at the High Court against the lower court's refusal to grant her bail was also dismissed by Judge Mbogoli Msagha. The trial lasted 7 months, a relatively short period by any measure of the legal process. The prosecution had lined up 12 witnesses, including the customs officers, police officers, government chemists, and other experts ready to support their case. Priscilla, on the other hand, had no defense witnesses in her corner. Investigators said they had established that Priscilla was being paid by drug barons to smuggle narcotics because of the nature of her work. Her role was to carry the drugs from unknown sources to dealers in Nairobi. The court would hear that Priscilla had confessed to accepting 156,000 shillings for delivering the 27 kilos of heroin into the country. She had also confessed to being paid 7,200 shillings after successfully delivering a smaller heroin consignment following a recent flight. Further, the court was told that she had admitted to having been introduced into the drug business in 1997 when, through close friends, she met a Mr. who sent her on her first job, earning a whopping 720,000 shillings. During the hearing of the case before Kibera Magistrate Ms. Wanjiro Karanja, Priscilla admitted to having brought into the country the luggage containing the drugs, which she said belonged to a Mr. of Isili, and that she had collected it from his brother in Mumbai by the name. Prior to her arrest, police established that she had withdrawn huge amounts of money from her accounts in 4 different banks in Nairobi. Priscilla's self-recorded statement to the police on the day of her arrest was submitted as evidence before the court. In her statement, Priscilla had admitted that the drugs were found with her, but said she was carrying them for someone else on a promise of being paid a large sum of money on delivery. She denied in court that she had known that she was carrying heroin. It was nevertheless found that Priscilla had been informed by persons who approached her in Mumbai that she was to carry prohibited merchandise even before it was packed into her baggage. The court further argued that it was not the first time she had been used for such an assignment, as she had previously been paid for similar missions. Her conduct at the airport and all surrounding circumstances were carefully analyzed by the trial court, and these corroborated her statement that she knew she was carrying the drugs and did not use reasonable care and precaution to ensure that she was not importing illegal drugs into Kenya. By the conclusion of the trial and following the testimony of 12 prosecution witnesses, it was proved beyond doubt that Priscilla was guilty. Priscilla was convicted with trafficking narcotic drugs in breach of the Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances Act 1994. On November 6, 2002, a Nairobi court delivered the harshest sentence ever handed to a drug trafficker, 18 years imprisonment. Additionally, Kibera Senior Principal Magistrate Wanjiro Karanja ordered the then 35-year-old Priscilla Kolungei to pay 10 million shillings or serve an extra year in jail. Priscilla chose to serve the extra year. Rather than appeal the judgment, Priscilla's defense team, led by Mr. Cliff Ombeta, expressed relief, saying they had expected a more severe sentence given that this offense formed the largest drug haul in Kenyan history at the time. When asked about her reaction to the sentence, she said, quote, "When the final verdict was read, I accepted it, bid my family goodbye, and headed to Langata Women's Prison to start my new life behind bars," end quote. Priscilla served her prison sentence at Langata Women's Prison, ironically located near Wilson Airport. 9 years into her sentence, Priscilla gave a rare interview to Citizen TV's show Lockdown, where she expressed that she missed her job at the airline. Priscilla said that memories became more vivid when airplanes flew over the prison every day, as the facility lies directly below the flight path of aircraft landing at Wilson Airport. In this interview, Priscilla recalled the incident that led to her incarceration.
Just drugs that were brought from India to Nairobi, and then they were intercepted at the airport, Jomo Kenyatta.
She also talked about her experience adjusting to prison life.
I was sentenced to 19 years in prison for drug trafficking charges. Having come from a high society where I was working was so different to the life that I found here. Everything was the opposite of how I used to live out there. I don't forget, freedom is about being denied everything, from talking to people freely. Everything is assigned to even time, your time of eating, time of waking up. You close your mind and forget about the rest. The perfumes, the high life, good food. In fact, most of the times I've even forgotten some of the restaurants that I used to attend to go to in town. Life is not all about having money, living well, having a good job, having a good family. Being in prison, anybody can be here. It doesn't select anybody.
On Monday, 6 July 2015, Priscilla Kolonge walked out of Langata Women's Prison after serving 13 years of her 18-year sentence. At the time of her release, Priscilla was 49 years old and had been released 5 years early for good conduct and having earned a supervisory trustee role in her time behind the prison walls. Priscilla was warmly received at the prison gates by her family, including her daughter, who was aged 19 at the time of her release. In her only post-release interview with BBC Swahili, Priscilla revealed that she was lured into the highly risky drug trafficking business in 1997. That year, Priscilla claimed that she innocently agreed to ferry some goods for her friends and acquaintances to Nairobi from a trip abroad. She said, quote, "It all started when I agreed to ferry items like bedsheets, clothes, lotions, perfumes, and generic medicine for people I knew, and in turn, they would give me a little money as appreciation," end quote. After some time, Priscilla said that some of her friends who had been asking her to deliver normal goods to people in Nairobi opened up and told her that she had been in fact ferrying drugs all along. Quote, "They now offered me big deals to ferry the hard drugs disguised as assorted clothing or perfumes," end quote. They offered to pay more. She couldn't refuse. From then on, she would be handed the already packaged items at the airport or in her hotel just before she caught her next flight. Priscilla fully understood the risks and was nervous about it, but her confidence grew with time. She went on to say, quote, "Although I got scared at times, I still ferried the drugs and I was able to dodge the many security checks at various airports," end quote. She was deeply shocked and felt betrayed by her arrest. She didn't see it coming. At the back of her mind, she knew that she had been set up by people she knew. Quote, "Some of them fell sick and died after I was jailed, but one lady is still alive. I think they set me up because of jealousy," end quote, she said. Since her release, Priscilla has lived a quiet life and stayed out of the spotlight, except for one brief statement she made during the 2017 electoral period. In this statement, she threatened legal action against media outlets seeking to discredit an electoral aspirant and family friend of hers by linking him to her crime. Priscilla has not been publicly seen or heard from since this press statement. The grass is always greener on the other side. A timeless adage that has transcended generations and cultures, resonating with the human psyche. This phrase encapsulates a deep-seated human tendency, the relentless pursuit of something better, something more, something different. Priscilla had it all: growing wealth, an exciting career, a sweet young daughter, but her case serves as a reminder of the human condition, one that constantly yearns for more. While the grass may indeed appear greener elsewhere, it is essential to recognize that the pursuit of the unattainable often comes at a cost, whether it be the erosion of one's morality, the loss of authenticity, or the disillusionment that accompanies the relentless chase. Wherever she is, whatever her life now looks like, I hope Priscilla discovers that the grass beneath her feet has always been green enough for her. True Crime Kenya is produced by Pitcher Media. Research, writing, and editing by DM Noor. Narrated by DM Noor. Theme song by Just a Band. Thank you for listening. Stay safe.